This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Hello, listeners. My name is Vanessa, the host of the Unseminary Podcast, where we talk about the stuff you wish they taught you in seminary. I'm joined by the founder of Unseminary, Rich Burge. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Well, we are, we're almost, what is it now? I guess like 2 weeks away or less than 2 weeks away or just over
less
2 weeks.
Two.
Something like that to Christmas, which is amazing. So I know a lot of us in church leadership, it's like, oh my goodness, the year end of year is coming. But let's just talk personal for a second. How is your shopping going? What's happening on that front?
Well, I'd say I have done about 50% through Amazon and about 50% through the mall. Is it? Do you find it frustrating to go to the mall at Christmas time?
So I'm one of those. So I'm like the typical guy. My wife is amazing. You know my wife. She's amazing. She does all of our shopping, and I have to just get something for her. Like that's literally what I have to do. And so the confession I'm making here, and I don't think she listens to the podcast, so hopefully it's okay. The confession I'm making to you, like literally just yesterday, I asked her, hey, so what do you want for Christmas this year? And she looked at me a little bit strangely. And I'm like, no, really. And so I haven't even started yet. But, you know, it's true. Going to the mall is terrible at Christmas. You know, you get stuck and you're following people and all that. But you're a young mom with a young child. Mm-hmm. What is that like with a young kid going to the mall at this time of year? Oof.
You just avoid it. I think that is why Amazon and Amazon Prime exists.
Oh,
like,
so
correct
true.
Me if I'm wrong, but I do all of my shopping right now online pretty well, unless, you know, for clothes and whatever, but I'll go to the mall. But it's just challenging, right? You have, especially when it's cold, and then you have this little bundle of joy that's all wrapped up, and then the car seat, and you're warm, and it's just, you know what? It's just a bucket of frustration that I just don't want to deal with.
It's true. You know, I was telling you this story before we started recording. On Sunday, we had our life group, our small group at church, so it was my job to get snacks for that night. And so I was going to go to the not to be named large discount retailer membership box store.
That starts with a C.
Because I don't want it. That starts with a C and ends with Osco. And I pulled into the parking lot, and there were so many people in the parking lot. I literally just turned around and drove right back out. I was like, oh, this is like, I didn't even go there, and I ended up going to a different one. And that actually kind of is apropos. That was independent of today's blog post, which is kind of connected to that. So 5 ways your parking lot might be holding back the redemptive potential of your church is what we're talking about today.
So Rich, you travel to a lot of churches. So this is obviously something that you see probably on a fairly regular basis. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Parking lots are, you know, critically important. You know, and I know it's one of those things, as I was writing this, I was like, well, this is definitely the kind of stuff they didn't talk about in seminary. I can tell you there's nobody in any, you know, Bible school, seminary that's today saying like, hey, don't forget your parking lot. But it's critically important. You know, the car, as the kind of rise of the car became, you know, really important, you know, in the last century, our churches literally changed the way they do work around them. We really, the idea of a local parish gave way to the regional church, which ended up giving way to the entire multi or mega site movement, mega church movement, which then ultimately became fertile ground for the multi-site movement. And that all really draws itself back to the use of the car. It's super important. And I think in a lot of ways, we don't, it's so important to our churches, we just don't even think about it. Like, it's so important to what, you know, happens that it's like breathing oxygen. And so, yeah, that's really why I want to talk about it today. I think it's important, particularly even in, you know, we've obviously been talking about Christmas. As we're coming into this time of year, a bunch of our churches are about to see the largest attendance they will have probably for another year. And so, you know, we need to be thinking about parking, particularly as we get close to Christmas.
Absolutely. So let's dive into this blog. So we're going to talk about a full parking lot is limiting your church. And I mean, I've seen this really well executed, like having your volunteers and everything. And we're going to get into that. But when it's full, you just, here's your Costco experience.
Yes.
You just drive away.
It's true. You know, this really does happen. So, you know, the thing about parking lots in general is most of the people are listening in because you're concerned about everything that's happening on inside of your building. As you get close to your services starting, no one is out front looking, or typically leaders aren't out front looking at what's going on. And there really is a missed opportunity there. And it actually doesn't take long. If you, you know, stand out front, you'll see people where this happens, and you'll see it on big days like this, like Christmas that we're coming up against, where like literally people will do exactly what I just did with Costco. They'll say, I can't do this. It's too busy. So a parking lot that is too full, ultimately people just won't stay there. Now, the problem is really driven by a lot of municipalities. So municipalities define their parking lot that's required, and because they're so expensive to build, which we'll talk about later, churches usually underbuild parking lots. So most municipalities, or a lot of municipalities across the country, their requirement is one parking spot for every four seats in the auditorium. Now, what that was built on was a 1950s understanding of like mom and dad and two kids coming to church. But we all know that that's not true. In fact, actually, a very large city bias requires only 1 in 40, which is amazing, which is, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
But actually, so my experience has been that you really need one parking spot for every two seats in your main auditorium. So if you have 200 seats in your auditorium, you need 100 parking spots. 500, you need 250. And so it scales. Yeah, it's a lot of parking. It's a lot of places to put people, for sure.
So in the blog, you have four tactics for dealing with a full parking lot. I think some of these are really brilliant, right? It's just, I think it's getting a little bit creative too.
Yeah. So, you know, your parking lot might be full. It might be at that point. You know, it's similar to, I think, that 70-80% full, ratio that we'll talk about from an attendance in an auditorium point of view. If your parking lot, if you're, you know, basically as the service starts, if you're 70 or 80% full, you need to look at some sort of alternative to get more parking spot availability. And so I'll list a couple examples here. So street parking, really diving into your local municipal parking bylaws may actually reveal that you can park on the street on a Sunday. And, you know, don't just dismiss that. Like, actually do the homework. I've seen this in churches where they're like, no, I don't think you can park here. Well, it's because no one ever does park there. And so but actually, if you look closely at the bylaws, sometimes you'd be surprised where you can. Actually, our church, Liquid Church in New Jersey, there was a number of locations where we could park people on streets that you just normally would be like, there's no way you should be able to park here, but you can on a weekend. Cross use agreements. So literally talking with other businesses in town, you know, other people, get on the Google Maps, and you'll see, you know, very quickly, even just on a Google Map, you're like, oh, actually here are a bunch of parking close by. Get out, talk to those people and say, hey, maybe there's a way for us to use our parking. You could talk about cross use, like, hey, I'm sure there's times of the year where you're busy and you'd like a few extra spots. We have so many spots and we'd love for to use them. You know, could we get them? Use it? Now, the thing here, a pro tip would be, it would be good to get this into some sort of letter of agreement. It doesn't need to be like some sort of legal thing, but it would be good to get that agreement from whoever the manager or owner of that business is, so that if that ever changes and turns over, if there's someone else new there, what you don't want is the Sunday morning when the new manager shows up and is freaking out on your people and telling them to please leave the parking lot. And obviously, if anybody that you have a cross-use agreement with, you need to be really nice to them long-term, because they're providing a critical service to, you know, your church. You know, parking leaders off-site, one of the things I love about our church, and so many churches across the country, but one of the things I love about our church is when I arrive on a Sunday morning, leaders are parked at the far end of the parking lot. They're parked far away from the doors, which I just think is a great cultural moment. I think it says so much to people who attend your church. But, you know, take this even step further. And actually, at one of our campuses, this is kind of the case. Leaders park really in a completely different parking lot, in off-site, basically. Now, it's technically on the same site, but it's really so far away, it might as well be off-site. Get your leaders away from the door. You know, you could functionally do this as a pastor or a church leader by, you know, kind of being around when people are coming at that time of morning and willing to drive people. Like, hey, I'll drive you to that other spot, you know, that sort of thing.
And then I really like to, you talk about casting the vision around that as well. And I think that is really important, especially casting your vision to your volunteers, especially, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you think of how many volunteers you need to run a service on a Sunday, think of all of those parking spots too, right?
Oh,
and
totally.
If you, like, I know something that we've lived with is every Sunday is somebody's first Sunday. So to be able to give that them that experience and have your volunteers park offsite. Man, that's huge.
Oh,
that's
it's helpful. Huge. Yeah. So again, you just do the math. You know, a lot of times, well, the interesting thing on this point, and I don't get into this in the post, but the interesting thing on this point is a lot of times actually volunteers are coming in multiple cars because mm-hmm. of their home situation. You know, they're, so dad might show up early to help with setup, let's say, and then mom's showing up, you know, maybe an hour later with the kids and she's helping with, you know, I'm trying not to be stereotypical. She's helping with, she's in the band, or, you know, something like that. And you know, she's showing up later. So actually you're having, they're using a higher ratio of cars than normal people that attend your church. And there typically is somewhere around 30% of the people attending are volunteering. So you could be, if 30% of your people that are attending are volunteers and they're all bringing two cars, 60% of the cars in your parking lot could actually just be volunteers. So that very quickly you could use up, you know, a massive portion of your parking lot just with people that are volunteering. And so, you know, you've got to move those people farther away. And then and the last point I make here in kind of, you know, ways to deal with a full parking lot is shuttle buses. And I know a number of churches who have had to do this where they just don't have space. And so what they end up doing is having kind of an offsite parking lot. And, you know, you end up starting a shuttle bus team and, you know, driving them. And I know that sounds crazy, but actually later when we talk about how expensive parking lots are to build, it actually, the financial numbers behind offsite parking and shuttle lots, excuse me, and shuttle buses are, you know, pretty compelling. And so there's a number of churches that have been able to grow actually on that. And you can make that a positive experience. You can show people that actually they'll if they park in the remote parking lot and stand in the little kiosk thing, they'll actually get into the building faster than if they were to park and walk across a massive parking lot. So shuttle bus is another way to do that.
I like this next point that we're going to talk about. So church parking lots without volunteers are missed opportunities. I could not agree more with that statement for sure.
Yeah. So you might be listening in today and saying like, listen, we're not booming. We're not at the place where we have like so many people and like people just park at our church. That could be what you're saying today. And I still think that there's a missed opportunity for you if you don't have volunteers in the parking lots. From the volunteers' perspective, you know, there are a group of, and again, I'm going to say guys because it is typically guys. It's not always guys, but there are a group of guys, to be honest, who frankly wouldn't be serving in any other position in your church, but thrive in this ministry. In fact, they love it. It's not like it's just like, oh, it's doom and gloom for them. It's actually amazing. They love the idea that, you know, and I say in here, make that joke about the U.S. Postal Service, you know, neither sleet nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night, you know, keeps these people away from, you know, volunteering. There are people that are super attracted to that. And that group of guys we want to make space for. And so actually by not offering a volunteer opportunity for them, you're limiting their ability to get connected. And we all know that we want more people connected to our church. And I've seen that. This is the same with portable churches, the setup teardown team. There's a mm-hmm. group of guys who, which I was just in a church yesterday who celebrated their 10th anniversary. Great, you know, opportunity. And I was talking to a guy who has been a part of the setup team every Sunday for 10 years. And so I said, guy's name's Jake, great guy. And so I said to him, I'm like, Jake, man, that's a lot of Sundays, 520 Sundays of setting up and tearing down. And he said, I wouldn't trade it for the world. He said, I've loved it. It's been amazing. And, you know, you could see there was, for a guy who's maybe not, you know, super sentimental or super, you know, is maybe a bit more rough and tumble. He got a little teary eyed and was like, no, this has been amazing. This has been an incredible experience so far. And the same is true with parking lot attendance. You know, there's a group of guys, if you do it well and kind of launch well, who will love being a part of that team.
So let's chat about some tips to launch volunteers into a parking lot team.
Okay. So first thing you need to do is pick the leader, and you need to find this leader. So a couple things I would be looking for the leader is, they need to be outgoing, because actually the people who are, you want to project they have to kind of be a little bit larger than life in the parking lot. You can't have subtle people working in the parking lot, which is, I think, why sometimes there's a group of guys who have a hard time fitting in other parts, but actually the fact that they're super outgoing, helps them. And you know, they need to buy into the fact that they're going to be outdoors all year long. And so, you know, a bit outdoorsy is a positive thing. You need to launch and pick the season wisely. You know, you're going to need these people in the middle of the wintertime. You're going to need them in the middle of the summertime. I would say that's not the time. If you're a church, if you're in Florida, July is not the time for you to launch this. You know, you're going to need them in July, but don't launch it in July. If you're, you know, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, you know, don't do this in January, February when you've got you know, minus 40 degrees and snow. You just don't want to do that. You want to pick it in a more shoulder season, the fall, spring, when it's a little more mild. You know, and that really connects to what, and the next thing I talk about here is, you know, what they're wearing. This probably more than any other team on your church, you actually have to think through the uniform. You know, they can't just be people standing in the parking lot. So at our church, the folks in the parking lot wear these, our kind of corporate colors are orange, so it works nice. They're wearing corporate colors. At Liquid, we did, I was about to say costumes. I don't think they're costumes, uniforms that they wear. But then we also did the Mickey hands, you know, like from Disney World, they have those big white Mickey hands. And it's amazing, like those, what smiles bring, that brings on people's faces. And they're also warm, which is kind of nice in the wintertime. But, you know, so you got to think through what people are actually wearing and think about what that's going to look like throughout the entire season. You are going to need some rainy wear gear. You are going to need some winter gear. And so you kind of want it all to look, you know, similar. And then I would say the other piece of the puzzle, there's some other stuff listed in here that I get into, but the other piece of this is this team needs extra amounts of celebration and admiration. You know, you need to, churches that do this well, you'll see they often refer to the parking team as kind of the unsung heroes of the church. They're the people that they talk about a lot. And so, you know, you need to be thinking about how you can do that. When you launch, make sure you make a big deal about them, but then consistently come back to them and celebrate the fact that they're, you know, standing outside on a bad weather day or on a great weather day.
And I mean, those are the first people that new guests or returning guests are going to see when they enter into that parking lot. So it's important to have the right set of people there, but also to celebrate them, to say, hey, like, we recognize what you're doing, because that's the first friendly face somebody sees. I mean, if you're going through a hard season, I mean, when you're coming into church, you're not really sure what emotions you're going to have. So to see that smiling face sometimes just brings a little bit of brightness when you need it.
It's so true. You know, and I'm a Christian. Hopefully, if people are listening, know I'm a Christian. And, you know, I follow Jesus and I pull into our parking lot and, you know, and I've got two teenagers, and most days it's fine getting them to church, but some days it's not so great. And there is something nice about, you know, when I pull around the corner and there's a person standing there, and, you know, in our church, there's a kind of a small group of people that are there all the time. It's the same folks. And there's something reassuring, and the big, you know, kind of goofy grin, and the pointing in the right direction. It's just really encouraging, for sure. That's great.
So do you think that it should be like a consistent set of people each week serving in the parking lot? Do you think that is more helpful than having it consistently change, or?
That's a good question. I think it is generally, I think in all roles, you should be rotating people through. You know, I think we want to be finding, not just because, well, there's a catch-22 there. The more people we rotate through, the easier it is to get volunteers. To say to someone, you've got to be in the parking lot 52 weeks a year. That example I use of that guy who's done every week of setup for 10 years, that's actually hard to do. Like, there's not a lot of people who will give that kind of level of commitment. And so I think you're better to have a rotation. Now, sometimes it happens. There are groups of people who just love it. But yeah, I think you've got to rotate that through for sure.
Okay. So let's chat about how first impression in the church's parking lot, like, that's important all week. It's not just on a Sunday. It's all the time.
Yeah. So I think the obvious part, I didn't really even write about it, but the obvious part here is obviously Sundays, right? It's a big, you know, and you mentioned it, right? That kind of having people standing in the parking lot, it humanizes that experience. It reassures people. It actually discourages people from turning around and leaving. I know we kind of joked about this from the large box discounter that we talked about earlier. If there was someone that waved me when I pulled in that parking lot, it would have been harder for me to turn around and leave. So there's all of that, but I actually don't even get any of that here. Really, the actual physical parking lot is people's first impression of your church. You know, in fact, the part that's a bit ironic that I think a lot of church leaders don't think about is the parking lot is people's first impression of your church, who never come to your church. In fact, it's actually the largest group of people that see that parking lot are people who are never inside your church, because you have lots of people every day, maybe thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, depending on where you are, maybe tens of thousands of people who drive by your church every week, and they're literally never in your church. And so their impression is not just the sign, is not just what the church looks like on the outside, but it's actually the building, the parking lot itself. And so, you know, I've seen, you know, we had at Liquid, one of our campuses was, you know, when we had a given to us, and the parking lot, you know, hadn't been painted in years. The joke I made here is painted since Spice Girls were in top 10. Or, you know, they had it, there was like a small forest growing in between the cracks. It was really bad. You know, and you when you drove onto that property or looked at that property, the parking lot just said, there's absolutely nothing going on here. You know, it's been a long time since anything happened here, and it's kind of depressing. And so you need to be thinking about that. You need to be kind of jumping on board and wrestling through the maintenance side of, you know, keeping the property up and keeping the property, you know, the parking lot looking great.
So I'm excited and really interested to talk about this next point. So is your parking lot holding back single parents?
Yes, good question. So I, particularly, I think where churches drop the ball is interacting with parents who are single and trying to raise kids. So the stat I use here is 25%. It's actually, I think it's 26% of all kids are being raised in single parent homes. Now, what I know in the churches I've served in is when we looked at the numbers, our church didn't, it wasn't one in four kids that were coming to our church weren't coming from single parent homes. Now that might be the case in your church, which if it is, that's amazing. My experience has been, as I've talked about this with so many church leaders, so that's just not the case. They're not one in four is coming from single parent homes. And why is that? I think there's a lot of reasons why that could be. But a part of the reason with the question I'm asking here is maybe a part of the reason why that's happening in church is actually because the parking lot experience is just so terrible for single parents. It's you know, it's too tough to navigate all that. If you have had the stress of getting you know, kids out the door when there's two parents involved, let alone having a single parent, it can be very difficult. So the question I'm really raising here is you know, first of all, does your church actually have the same percentage of single parents in it that it has in your community? You need to know what that statistic is and see where it's at. My hunch is you probably don't. And if you don't, maybe it's because of the parking lot.
So let's chat about this. Like, how can we improve these parking lots for single parents? It doesn't matter what the statistic is that your church is seeing. I think it's just important that you identify how you can help these people out, right?
Yeah, for sure. So I talk about designated parking for parents. And, you know, there's a number of churches do this. I really do think it's a best practice. So I wouldn't say, you know, you need like single parent parking spots because you don't want, you know, you want people to still have a bit of anonymity there. You don't need to identify, you know, specifically single parents, but having parking or parent parking or making it obvious, like this is the door. Some churches have like a door that's closer to their kids' environments where they come in, making it really obvious that this is the place you should park for that group, for those, you know, groups of people. Or you literally could do, you know, like there's a number of stores. I think it's Walmart standard practice across North America that they'll have the, you know, expectant or new mothers parking at all their locations. They're not doing that because they're trying to be kind to people. Like they're not doing that because they're like, oh, we want to be like really nice to people. They're doing it because they realize that, well, moms, first of all, are really important. They buy a lot of stuff. And then second of all, they know that if they have a bit of parking closer for moms, that they're more likely to come there. And so, yeah, having, you know, designated parking is an important piece of this. I think a piece of this puzzle is to train leaders to look for single parents. I had a good friend of mine, Mike, from Liquid, who, great guy, he was a pastor, and so many single moms from that church have told the story of, yeah, like he's this big tall guy, he's taller than me, so I don't know, he's probably 6'4" or something like that, and he's got like, at one point he had this big mop of yellow hair, it looks like a surfer dude, and so many single moms have told the story of, you know, I just barely got out of my car, and then here was this big tall guy with this big mop of hair, you know, helping my kids, getting the stroller, picking the stroller up, you know, helping them get across the parking lot. Now, that what that communicates to a single parent is just amazing, right? That, hey, this church is going out of their way. Now, you can't just have one person do it. You really need to train a lot of people to do it. You need to.
It's a movement.
Yeah, you've got to get everybody to think like, oh, just be on the lookout for, you know, parents who might be, you know, kind of coming by themselves. And, you know, let's try to find them, you know, help them, you know, find their way in. You know, a part of this, just word of the wise on that. I think it's important to, this would be why having, you know, multiple genders on your parking lot team would be important because there can be, you don't always want to be sending guys to help, particularly single moms with their kids. You don't want to be sending the wrong message there. And so if it's the same person all the time who's helping them with their kids, you don't want that to be, you know, it may be the wrong message. I didn't write this in the post, but you know, you get what I'm saying, that having, you know, every Absolutely. Once in a while having a lady go and help is really important as well. Were there any of these other ones that stuck out to you? There's five here, so I don't want to bore people too much.
Yeah. You know what? The one that I really resonated with was the designated parking. My husband and I went down to Atlanta together, and it was our first time with our daughter going down, and we had the most amazing experience. I mean, I have gone to that church once, and I didn't have a baby. So, yep. To come back, and it's that it's not familiar. You don't know where you're going. And let me tell you, they execute that parking lot so amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I just said, hey, do you guys have kids parking? Like, I saw these signs where I'm supposed to put my flashers on. And I did. And they guided us right into a parking spot that was close to the doors. And let me tell you, that is so helpful. And I mean, we've seen it time and time again in our church, just the smile that that brings to somebody's face when it's like, hey, can I help you with your kid and take them to the environment with you? Because you've got three kids, or do you need a coffee? What do you need? And it's, I mean, it's extending. I mean, let's be Jesus, right?
Yes, totally.
Is that what he calls us to do?
Yeah, absolutely. No, for sure. And it's amazing how simple stuff like that, it just makes a huge difference to people. And that, and you know, you're a good example, right? You had gone, I'm assuming it was North Point you were talking about there.
Yeah.
You know, you had been to North Point before, you've been to that parking lot. And, but even, you know, there's a, it was an added level of anxiety when it was you and Kyle going. So, you know, that, which is amazing. You know, when you think about, you know, think about a single mom or a single parent who's coming, never been to church before, the anxiety that they're feeling, what can we, you know, what can we do? A couple other quick things here. I talk about, like, you know, having fun transport options. I've seen a lot of churches do, they'll have like wagons for their, you know,
cute little wagons.
Yeah. Like, hey, kids, jump in the wagon. Everybody loves going on those wagons. The great thing about that, if you have a very large parking lot, the great thing about that, buy enough that you have them out in the parking lot, and then you pull them in, park them by the side of the church, and then at the end of the day, just pull them back out to church. Yeah. You don't have to be transporting back and forth. You know, I know some churches that actually do golf carts or trams in the parking lot, which who doesn't love the tram? I love the tram at Disney World. It's like the first ride of the day. You don't even have to pay for. Just go to the parking lot. It's amazing. Obviously, umbrella is a big deal. And then obvious signage. I think this can sometimes, one of the things, if, you know, I would say every time I've gone, actually, with the exception of one, every time I've done, you know, coaching in churches, and I do like a thing, I'm there on Sunday. Every time you guarantee I'm going to say you need more and better signage. And, you know, this is one of those areas. People, there is a distraction factor when you're a single parent and you've got two or three kids in tow. There's this pretty significant distraction factor, and knowing where to go is not obvious. And so you can't, you can't overdo that signage. You know, I was at a church just a few weeks ago, and I said to them, they have two buildings. They have like kind of a kids building and a, their main kind of church sanctuary. And I said, I'm like, listen, you should paint the side of the kids building, put your logo, make a massive logo on the side of it, put like birth through what I think it's grade 4 or grade 5, put that right on the side of it. You can't go overboard, because again, think about the single parent who's a little bit frazzled. It's taken a lot to get there that morning. What they don't want to do is stare at, in that case, it would be easy to stare at those two buildings and be like, I'm not sure which one I'm supposed to go in. And you know, you don't want to run, you know, have them be the hassle or go around. So that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's chat about money.
Yeah. So the last point,
the cost of this.
Yeah. So parking lots are really a hidden in plain sight stewardship issue. So, if you've never been through a building campaign, you probably don't have any sense of how much that parking lot out there costs you. It's a significant piece of the puzzle. So, you know, it depends. There's a lot of variables on what, you know, parking lots can cost, but a good rule of thumb is that you're looking somewhere around $5,500 or $5,500 per, you know, parking lot spot, which is if it's a low complexity build. So if it's not that complex, there's some links in there, actually to, I think it's like a 30 page document on, figuring out how much you think your, you know, your spots are going to cost. But, you know, as a point of reference, so think about that. If you're a church, let's say 500 people in the auditorium and you have 100 parking spots. So what you learned earlier in this article is you probably need more like 250 spots. And so you want to set out and have one for every two. Well, that looks like an just over $800,000 investment to make that happen. And that's a lot of money. Like, that's a ton of cash to invest in, you know, parking lots. And so they really are expensive to build, which really does drive the conversation around maintaining them. And, you know, an unmaintained parking lot, if you maintain your parking lot, it will last you longer, and you won't have to, you know, replace it sooner. I take this from someone who has had to do parking lot maintenance. It is literally the worst money you spend at your church. You're like, oh, this just feels very strange. It, you know, because you're spending, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars on a parking lot. When at the end of the day, you know, it feels like it's not that important. So you want to maintain it on the front end. You want to make sure every, at least every year, every 2 years, or at least every 2 years, if not every year, you're doing regular maintenance to ensure that you don't have kind of the severe consequences. You do want to retop it, all that stuff, repaint it, you know, make sure if there's trees growing in the middle of it, you know, rip those trees out. You know, you need to make sure you're staying on top of it, because it is really super important. It's an important piece of your ministry, and it can get out of hand really quickly. So it's important. You know, it really is hidden in plain sight. People, we don't think about it. We don't consider it, but it's a significant resource. In the same way, you know, there's a lot of ways a church of 500 people can spend $825, $825,000. You know, there's a lot of ways you could invest in that, but just getting more parking is, it would be one of them. So yeah, it's an important issue for sure.
Rich, before we sign off, is there anything that else that you'd like to add?
No, I appreciate this. You know, I think particularly just a kind of encouragement to everybody as we're heading into the Christmas season. I know so many churches are doing all kinds of great things. It's been fun to watch online to see what people are doing to try to reach more people at this time of year. So my encouragement to you as church leaders is just to say thank you. Thank you for doing what you're doing to try to reach the people, you know, in your community. And I'm excited to hear and excited to see and just let you know that everybody at Unseminary, we're cheering for you. Let us know if there's anything we can do to help you as we go through the Christmas season.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can see the full article and our other podcasts at unseminary.com. Have a great day.
Thanks.